Blog Talk Radio. Glory to God. Give praise to the King. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
Call a friend. Tell them that the is on the air. We would like to thank God today for our panelists that's going to be joining us on this broadcast. They are Dr. Rosa Mary Lucio, Dr. Gloria Castor, and Dr. June Normia. Our topic today is depression. So I want you to get ready for God to give you insight to help you to understanding what may be occurring or happened to a friend, a neighbor, and even to yourself. So at this time, before we do anything, we want to acknowledge God. We want to go through to the throne of grace. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed will be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. In Jesus' name. Father, we just give you praise today. Lord, we just thank you because you're our Jehovah Jireh. We thank you, God, for being Jehovah Raphia and Jehovah Shalom. God, we just thank you, Father God, for just being there for us. We thank you, God, in the name of Jesus, for being our shield, our rock. Father, we thank you, God, for being our high tower and our deliverer. Father, even as we reach out to the audience today, we pray, God, even now, that this will be a day of change in their lives. God, we know we're coming up on the week, Father God, of this week of Thanksgiving. So, Father, even to this day and this week and forevermore, God, that they can thank you, Father, for giving them deliverance and for you healing their body, no matter what the sickness may be. God, if it's depression, God, we pray even now, God, that you will supernatural move on the innermost part of their innermost part of their soul and their spirit. God, that deliverance will be made manifested for them on today. Father God, bless the hearer and the doer of thy word. And we thank you and we praise you for all that you're about to do and all that you have done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. We, again, would like to thank you for joining us today on the Crossroads broadcast. We are just so blessed to be here again, and we want you to just to get ready for God to speak through you and speak to you as you begin to hear the anointed women of God. As they come, they are licensed Christian counselors that are certified and that is able to teach and to be able to help you and help those that are going through depression, which is our topic on today. We're getting ready to go to our first speaker, which is Dr. Rosa Mary Lucio, and she is going to bring us into this conversation. She's going to give us some insight on depression. Let us now welcome Dr. Lucio to the Crossroads broadcast.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy, for allowing me to be with you today. I give greetings to the radio audience, and also I give greetings to the radio panel tonight. It's a pleasure to be here, and I give glory and honor to God for all the great things that he's doing. My topic tonight is depression. Depression is something that has not just started. It has been going on for quite some time. And depression has been recognized as a common problem for more than 3,000 years. Depression is a worldwide occurrence that affects many individuals of all ages all over the world. Depression appears to be increasingly among teenagers and young adults very rapidly. Depression disrupts the lives of an estimated 30 to 40 million people in the United States alone. And the most disturbing factor, information of depression, is that depression even affects infancy. Depression affects even the young babies and children in their toddler stage or age. An individual may experience three levels, or Christians may experience three levels of depression, according to a Southern Baptist preacher by the name of Vance Havner. And the first level is mountaintop days. And mountaintop days is everything is going well and everything looks great. And that person have a song in their heart and they have a dance in their feet. And the second level is just ordinary days. And that's when an individual works at their usual tests without any hardship or without any unnecessary problems. And that person, they are neither elated nor depressed. The third level is called dark days. And dark days are when a individual trudge heavily through confusion. They trudge heavily through doubt and despair and also discouragement. Dark days usually runs with an individual into months and often into years before anyone or individual can experience a sense of relief and victory. And to come out of dark days, a person needs much prayer. They need a power of the Holy Ghost to bring them out. So my question today is, what is depression? Depression is a mental state characterized by a pessimistic sense of inadequacy and a despondent lack of activity. So it's a mental state characterized by a pessimistic sense of inadequacy. So the pessimistic sense of inadequacy is that person have a dark outlook, a gloomy outlook on life. Depression is known as the common cold of mental disorder and mental diseases, and has been called the most widespread, serious, and costly psychiatric disease afflicting human mankind today. But the word of God says, many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them out of them all. The word of God also says, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Psalms 42 and 5. The word depression may cover a wide variety of symptoms, and the signs of depression may include, but is not limited to, sadness. Sadness is often accompanied by hopelessness and pessimism. What is pessimism? It's when a person has a dark outlook on life, and what they think that the ultimate triumph of evil, they think that evil will ultimately triumph over good, and they are very negative. Another sign of depression may be, but not limited to, is apathy. And apathy makes it difficult for a person to get going or face decisions. And apathy is a lack of interest. It's a lack of concern, and it's a lack of emotions. Another sign is general fatigue, and this is also goes along with a loss of energy and a lack of interest in work. The person is so tired they don't want to work. It's a loss of energy and interest in sex between a married couple, a male and female, a loss and lack of energy and interest in religion, hobbies, or other activities. And another sign is low self-esteem. This low self-esteem is frequently accompanied by self-criticism and feelings of guilt, shame. This person feels worthless, and they also feel helpless. And it's also bring in self-hatred. And self-hatred is a feeling of intense dislike for one's own self. This person with self-hatred that's in depression feel low self-worth. They feel unimportant. They feel unlovable. They feel unworthy. And they walk in guilt and shame. As Christians and born-again believers, we have come to know and realize the sustaining power of God. The Word of God says in Psalms 121, 1 through 2, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help, and my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And another sign of depression is insomnia and a difficult in concentration. And also another sign is loss of appetite. Some individuals do not want to eat. They can't sleep and they can't think. And their cognitive thinking and their mind, they're not able to bring forth. And many depressed people suffer from mass depression. And mask depression is denying any of the above signs and level. And a person also will deny that he or she, that they would deny that they feel sad or that he or she is despondent, and that they also will deny that they need help. And that is mask depression. In many cases, the symptoms of depression is hidden anger that has not been expressed normally. So we know that anger is a disorder, and this disorder shows frequent angry outbursts and resentment, and this resentment comes along with depression. And a person that shows this type of outburst with depression and resentment and is angry may have mean and hateful talking, may have mean and hateful feeling towards others. They are touchy and easily annoyed, and they also question rule and authority. They come against leadership. The Word of God says, be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. That's Ephesians 4:26-27. So we know that anger is an evil culprit set up by Satan, from Satan. Anger, its main purpose is to maim an individual and to destroy many. The major negative effect of depression on an individual life is a shortened life. We know that the enemy of our soul wants to destroy us in every arena in our lives. Satan wants to kill, steal, and destroy our mind, our bodies, and our soul. But Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Another negative effect of depression is destruction to mankind, and that can come from child abuse, child neglect. The abuser may be maybe depressed. The abusee, we know that person is depressed. Sexual predators, molesters, rapers, and many other destructive ways to destroy mankind. And another negative effect of depression is a separation from God. As Christians and born-again believers, what we must do, we must trust in God and His Word, that we have the mind of Christ. And without Jesus, we can't do anything. Our whole mind, our whole body, our soul, and spirit belongs to God. So what we do, we command, we declare, and we decree that our minds to be steadfast in God. So we cast all our cares, no matter what it is, we cast it on God because he cares for us. So I will end my session tonight with a quote from Sherry Huber, who wrote, "There is nothing wrong with you going beyond self-hate." And the quote says, "If you had a person in your life treating you the way you treat yourself, you will have gotten rid of them a long time ago." So we are getting rid of depression, because depression comes to maim, to kill, and to destroy the people of God. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
We would like to thank Dr. Rosa Mary Lucio for giving us an insight on depression. She has given us 7 different signs of depression, and I hope that you were able to jot them down as she went through them. She did mention, first of all, sadness, general fatigue, low self-esteem, a loss of spontaneity, insomnia, and difficulties in concentrating, and the loss of appetite as well as apathy. We want you to take the time. You know that there's something wrong in your life or in the life of a loved one, so we want you to take that time to get some help. You can call this broadcasting line, and we will be more than happy to help someone to help you with your depression. Next, we're going to go to Dr. Gloria Kaster. Dr. Kaster is going to talk about the causes of depression. So, if, again, get your pencil, your pen, or paper, or whatever you may need in order to hear what she is about to share with you, Dr. Gloria Astor.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy, and to the radio panel, and to all of those who are listening today. It's such an honor and a privilege to be here before you today, and I am going to talk to you about the causes of depression. And there might be somebody out there who at one time or another wonder what causes clinical depression. Perhaps you've been diagnosed with major depression yourself, and that's made you question why some people get depressed while others don't. Depression is an extremely complex disease. It occurs for a variety of reasons. Some people experience depression during a serious medical illness. Others may have depression with life changes such as a move or death of a loved one, and still other ones have a family history of depression. Those who do may experience depression and feel overwhelmed with sadness and loneliness for no known reason. Depression can have a number of causes. Often several of these work together. And if you can uncover, understand, and help counselors deal with each of these, your counseling will likely be better. Now, the Christian counselor's task is made more difficult by a number of myths, and we do have a lot of myths about depression that are widely accepted and sometimes preached. It's not true, for example, that depression always results from sick or lack of faith in God, that all depression is caused by self-pity, that it is wrong for a Christian to ever be depressed. That depressed feeling may be removed permanently by spiritual exercises. That happens in a choice, or that a depressed Christian is a contradiction of terms. That's a myth. Christians, like everyone else, get depressed, and the cause can be grouped into 2 major categories: the generic biological causes and the psychological cognitive causes. Now, let me talk a little bit on the genetic biological causes, because, you know, some things are genetic. Some things we just inherit from parents or whatever. But I always say, no matter what my parents or whatever have, I don't have to have what they have, because I can speak to God, I can pray about it, and I can claim it, and I can speak it by faith, and I cut it off at that particular generation. Depression often has a physical basis. At the simple level, we know that lack of sleep, insufficient exercise, the side effects of drugs, physical illness, or improper diet can all create depression. Thousands of women experience depression as a part of a monthly menstrual symptom and syndrome. And we know that PMS, as women, we know that sometimes we go through different things. You know, our bodies get more fluid, or our sweet feet swell, or headaches, or, you know, we do experience those things, which can cause depression as well. And some are victimized by postpartum depression following childbirth. And we know that we've heard that someone who have had a child a lot of times are going over into that postpartum depression. And that can really be real heavy, even detrimental to the family and to the person themselves, because sometimes a person that goes over and that have been known to physically hurt someone, or physically hurt that child, that newborn. So it's important to make sure that you get some kind of medical, psychological help, so that you won't go over into harming yourself and someone else. And other physical influences like neurochemical malfunction, brain tumors, glandular disorder are more complicated creators of depression. There's an evidence that some depression runs in families and may have a genetic basis. But I said, I don't speak that. If somebody else have it, I'm going to pray to God that it doesn't be a part of my life as well. This is difficult to demonstrate exclusively. Research reports are sometimes contradictory. Other research have linked depression to brain chemistry that often can be altered by antidepressant drugs. Whenever the body has experienced a period of high adrenaline demand, such as coping with an emergency, public speaking, or meeting a deadline, the adrenaline system becomes exhausted and switches off when the demand is over. It is like the calm following a storm, except for the calm is more like a total switch off. Most of us feel it as depression. It is the body's way of demanding rest. And, you know, Jesus himself rested. And sometimes we can have so many things going on until we don't take out time to rest. And our bodies be trying to tell us, but we don't listen. And thereby, we've gotten so caught up into all of these things until we're just so bogged down till we could go over into a spirit of depression, because we feel like we're not getting done what we feel we should get done, when in fact we should have rested and then go back out for the next time. It turns you off to all interest and saps you of energy, so that you are forced into a period of recovery. And we have to take time for recovery. During this time, the adrenaline glands and other important systems are rejuvenated. The longer your system has been in a state of demand or energy, the longer it takes for it to rejuvenate. The older we get, the less resilient is our adrenaline system, and the more depressed we become after a high adrenaline. Now, if we look at Elisha, and it says that he rested and slept until his system was rejuvenated. Perhaps this was how God chose to lift the prophet post-adrenaline depression. Research in the genetics and biochemistry of depression is both complex and moving at a rapid pace. Scientists still do not know if depression thinking causes biochemical changes or if a chemical imbalance in the brain causes depression. One former president of American Psychiatric Association had predicted, however, that research in this area is where a Nobel Prize will one day be won. I want to just take a moment to go to a couple of scriptures to show you how even David himself got depressed. And in Psalm 69, he says, "Save me, O Lord, for the waters have come up on my neck. I sink in a deep mire where there is no standing. I come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary." He himself said, "I am weary with my crying, and my throat is dry." So he's just giving God a little indication of what's going on with him, and then also giving him, which God already knew, God already knows, just giving the Lord a little synopsis of what physically is happening to him. If we go to Psalms 88, and it said, "Oh God, my salvation, I have cried out one day," and this is the sons of Kerub. "Oh Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry." Have you ever been in prayer before the Lord and you feel like you just can't go another step? Everything that's going on in your life, you feel like it's just about to come to an end and you need some kind of help. Well, help is there because you can call on him. The one thing about God, he never sleeps. You can call on him 24/7, 365 days a year. He'll hear you, and he's there if you have a heartfelt cry out to him. And I just want to give you one more thing and then give you like four or five, six or seven things that you can write down. And get a pencil and paper while I'm doing this so you can write down what the main causes of depressions are. Psychological cognitive causes. Depression is a significant mental health problem from between 4% and 9% of all general populations. But these figures race radically among some young adults. An estimated 25% of college students suffer from depression at one time, and 33% of college dropouts suffer from serious depressions before leaving school because they're constantly probably pressing to study, and when things don't go right, they probably take it so seriously that it does cause them to fall into depression. Startling statistics like these have led to conclusion that developmental, psychological, impersonal, spiritual, and other non-physical influences are at the basis of much depression. I want to give you a couple of things here that you can write down that will kind of help you and give you some kind of guidelines as to what you can kind of look at. I do want to talk a little bit about the stress and significance of loss. It is well known that the stress of lifetime stimulated depression, especially when these stresses make us feel threatened or when they involve a loss. Loss of an opportunity, a job, status, health, freedom, a constant possession or other valuable objects can each lead to depression. The same is true when there is loss of people, divorce, debt, prolonged separations are painful and known to be among the most powerful depression-producing events of life. Whenever you feel that you've gone through any of these things in your life and you get depressed or down at all, before it gets too far advanced, you need to get some kind of help. Now, these are a number of factors that may increase the chance of depression, including the following, and this might have been said before, but repetition sometimes makes sure that we want you to get it. abuse. Past physical, sexual, or emotional abuse can cause depression later in life. Certain medications, for example, some drugs used, the first one I'm giving you is abuse. The second one is certain medication. For example, some drugs used to threaten high blood pressure, such as beta blocker or Rexulti, and can increase your risk of depression as well. So you always need to make sure you read the side effects of medications. Conflict. Number three, depression may result from physical conflict and disputes with family members or friends. Number four, death or loss. Sadness or grief from the death of a loss of a loved one through natural can also increase the risk of depression. Number five, genetics. A family history of depression may increase the risk. It's thought that depression is passed genetically from one generation to the next. The exact way this happens, though, is not known. So always get a background of your history, your genetics, or your background of family members, and know your history. Number six, major events. Even good events such as starting a new job, graduating, or getting married can lead to depression. So can moving, loss of a job or income, getting divorced, or retiring can also be a major event can cause depression. Number eight, other personal problems, problems such as social isolation due to other mental illness or being cast out of a family or social group can lead to depression. Number nine, serious illness. Sometimes depression coexists with a major illness or in a reaction to the illness. And number 10, substance abuse. Nearly 30% of people with substance abuse problems also have major or clinical depression. Make sure if you feel any of these signs, or if at any time you know a friend or someone that does, you need to get help. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Well, thank you, Dr. Castor, for giving us the causes of depression. And it's so important that we all know the causes of depression. You can help someone that is desperately in need of help if you just know what that person is going through, why it is happening, the causes of them. You can understand it for yourself and also for others. For the next 15 minutes, we're getting ready to talk about the effects of depression. And we would like to welcome Dr. June Normville to the Crossroad Broadcast.
My voice, and also to the radio panel, I give you greeting. Praise the Lord. My topic for today is the effects of depression. The effects of depression. And we know that depression is a state of feeling of sad, being pressed down, or just feeling low in your spirit. It causes you to be having difficulties in thinking or even your concentration. But now that we know what depression is, we're going to focus on the effects of it. And what I mean about the effects is the consequences of being depressed, the outcome of it, the aftermath, the results, the issues that you will be dealing with in coherence with being depressed. And it is, you know, it's normal to say that most people don't enjoy having problems. But sometimes problems can serve a useful purpose. And I know you got to be wondering, like, okay, how can problems serve a useful purpose? How can that be? Well, I'm going to tell you how it's going to be. It causes sometimes when a person is sick, a person has problems, where they take advantage of that and how they get leisure out of that. Sometimes it's be an excuse for people to stay off of work. And then while you're being off of work, it causes sometimes people to shower us with gift and give us a lot of attention give you a lot of sympathy, and then a lot of time it calls others to take on your responsibility. They give you a way of escape and cause other people to be able to have to make decisions for you and take on all your responsibilities. And then you can just go through that same period for a long time and just enjoy that period of leisure, not have to do pay bills or not to figure anything out, somebody just doing that for you. But at the same time, when this is true, when the emotion is distraught, when you emotion is distraught, at the same time, it could cause you to have neurotic behavior, and it causes the depression to be even more effective. You have a more effective way of being depressed. And it's not easy, and it's not even better in that way when you're going in that direction. Because eventually, however, emotionally hurting people realize that the benefits of depression are not really satisfied as you thought they were. Even though you got all the attention, a lot of time when people are sick and in the hospital, they enjoy the roses and everything, but in the long run, it's not as satisfying as you think it is. Some people begin to hate what they are doing at that time, and they end up even hating themselves because that's just not the way life is designed to be. This is having created and caused, it's been created to cause more severe depression. And it being depressed, it causes all kind of effects. In different ways, it causes you to be depressed. It causes you to be unhappy. It causes unhappiness and inefficiency. You know, people who frequently be depressed, they feel blue. They feel hopeless. They don't have any hope. They feel miserable about life. They just don't have no enthusiasm. You ever see a person, you know, every time you see them, they got a sad story, or even their body language. You can look at the effect of the way their body language is. You know, they walk with a stupor. They have their head down, and their voice, they have no eye contact. You know, they're just not happy about life. And we know that's what God has not given us, that spirit, not to be happy about life. But we do know in reality that things happen, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian. And it's just some of the things that cause us the effect of just being depressed, unhappiness. And then it'd be so bad that sometimes a person don't even like getting out of bed. And it's so true, but it's so sad. People could get in a situation where things, life would just overtake them, and situations and problems. A person actually get to a point that they really don't even like getting out of the bed. And it just like, it just, they hate to see another day come. And it'd be so depressed. A lot of people have lost jobs. They have lost relationships. And they just have been robbed out of life because of depression, the effects of depression by not getting help for that. But it's always a way of escape. It's always an answer to every problem. Every dark morning, it always to be brand new mercies that next day. It always be a layer of a ray of the sunlight will break through. It'll be a dawn of a new day. You just have to just pray and just believe God for it, because it's a sad thing to walk around and be unhappy every day, and then for a long period of time. Sometimes we have situations that cause us to be unhappy, but that thing just don't supposed to overtake us. We can be able to break that spirit of being unhappy and just being unhappy and just continue on with life. And number two, it also causes the effect of depression is physical illness. And it's very important, you know, because a lot of times people think we all get colds. We all have different effects in our physical body. And we would like to think it's just a normal thing as a human nature, because we know that this body deteriorates every day. But a lot of times, being dealing with depression, it will cause you to have physical illness. It includes sadness that comes with grief or loneliness, and it tends to depress the body immune system. And then as a result of that, it's hard for your body even to fight off different germs and viruses. You find yourself always catching a cold, having viruses or the flu, always having aches and pain in your body. It's subtle little things like that that we think is just normal reaction of physical problems in our body, but it really is coming from the root problem of being depressed. That's one of the effects of being depressed. And it may seem like that, but when it's consistent like that, it's not normal for you to always have a cold every month, always to be in pain every month. Something is wrong. Something is physically wrong with your body. And as you go to the physician to find out what it is, and it may not be even while your physical body, the doctor can find no reason for that. It could be emotionally, mentally, while your physical body is not lining up like it should be, while you're always in pain and always being sick. And it causes physical disorder and physical illness, and it will develop depression persistently if you don't get it checked out and have something done about it, because it's just not normal. That's just another effect that depression will cause. And another one is, number three, it could be low self-esteem and withdrawal. And a lot of times we see individuals, we know as all of us as being individuals, God-given each and every one of us, our own temperament. But if you make a person maybe normally just a withdrawn person, or just have a mild and meek spirit. They're not outgoing. They're not a real social person. And by their temperament, that's just them. But when you know like a person, their characteristic, their mannerism of a person is always a majority of the time, you know them by their spirit. You know them by their character. They could be like a happy-go-lucky person. And all of a sudden, you may see them, and they've withdrawn themselves from the norm contact and crowd they used to be. Then you may see a way of a person, maybe they used to dress real nice, and then all of a sudden you may see them dressing down, you know, not being as clean, maybe their hygiene not as being as clean as it used to be, maybe their grooming not being effective and nice as it used to be. That could be signs of one of the effects of a person who is dealing with depression. And a lot of times we don't see that and look at it as that way. We probably just judge and say, oh, they just don't gave up on life and everything. But it's not just that. It's that they're dealing with depression, and that's just one of the effects or signs that would be shown through that. And most times you can identify that, like I said earlier, through a person. You just see their personality. They low self, their esteem has been changed, drastically changed. And then I'm not saying you might see that for maybe like a couple of days, a week. We all go through maybe sometimes like a bad hair day, or sometimes we just ain't dressing like we normally dress. But for a long period of time, you see that ability just changing that person's demeanor. That could be dealing with the effects of the depression. They just feel like, you know, just running away. And some people do that. Sometimes people will literally leave their surroundings. They will leave their homes, leave their families, and just like start all over again. And it's sad to say, but that has happened. A lot of people have been so depressed to cause them to do that. And they just always, you know, don't have energy, all kind of ways, and just other simple factors that show you signs of effects of depression. And one of the most important ones, all of it is important, but I'm going to talk about this one, about suicide. Suicide, one of the most deceiving signs of the effects of depression. It says there is no more complete way to escape than to take one's own life. And we all know that that's is a lie, and that is a trick of Satan, because God has come that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly. No matter what you're going through, the answer is not suicide. It may seem like that it may seem like people have turned their back on you. It may seem like the world just say, in a dark night that the day will never occur, but that's not so. Joy always will come. That's not God's will to commit suicide, and that's not the answer. They say suicide and suicide attempts are often seen among teenagers, people who live alone and unmarried, especially the divorced, and the person who are depressed. Many depressed people never even consider suicide, but others do. And that is common, too. A lot of times, and when we hear about a lot of people who have committed suicide, you have no sign, no clue. I have heard of a lot of situations of people who have literally committed suicide that I didn't even have a clue. No one had a clue. Nothing was shown. No sign was shown that that person was even depressed. And you'd be like, how did that happen? I didn't even see a sign. And those kind of people, those are the most high percentage of attempts, I mean, that really go through. But a lot of times, people who are depressed, some of the effects of depression, what they would do things such as like, just a low percentage, some of them go through, most of them don't. They'll write a note and say, I'm going to kill myself, or you might find them on the floor with probably some flour all around their mouth, make you think they don't OD'd on something. A lot of times you see things such as that, that's when an individual being depressed, that may be another way they're fed. They're just showing you that they want to get attention. And a lot of times people do things like that also for manipulation, you know, to get what they want or to get control over another individual life for things to go in their life how they want to. And that's sad, but things like that happen. That's the effect of people just putting on masks, depression. But then it also, in the real thing, you have people, like I said, 90% of the people who actually commit suicide are the ones you've seen no sign of it. And a lot of times you would think that you just have to be in a down-out position or somebody who's just doing bad financially or spiritually, emotionally, who's going to commit suicide. A lot of times, I'm telling you, the 90% the people who are well off, even the wealthy or the people that you think who got a good cover up, who got a good mask to be the main, a lot of times, happens to people who is contemplating suicide. And I'm going to say this, and that person who's thinking about that, the majority of the time, I say 99.9% is a person who does not have God in them, like God in their life, to even think about taking their life. Even though you may have the monies, the riches, the prestige, all the accolades, the material things, the healthy body, but without God in your life, without the peace of God in your life, without the blessings of God upon your life, without the anointing of God upon your life, it's going to always be that void that's in there that'll be a door open for Satan to strategically to kind of just deceive, to get his way in that place to deceive you, to contemplate suicide. But that is not the answer. That is not the answer. So a lot of times we do suicide come in all different kind of ways. Mass suicide, some people really, it's just an unconscious cry for help. And then a lot of times people do suicide on the state of revenge. They try to get revenge by other people. And like I say, a lot of times people just try to arrest people in with their lives to try to just control them, say, if you don't marry me, I'm going to kill myself. If you're going to leave me, I'm going to kill myself. But we know that's not the way it's supposed to be. But a lot of times we just have to be prayerful about situations, about any kind of way the effects of suicide would take place, because we are in the last days, and we know that Satan is on a rampage. And I'm saying this, and we are still in the last days, and we know God is on a rampage and his people is on a rampage. So we have to be very careful and prayerful about that spirit of suicide. And like we say, also about mask suicide. And a lot of times people may have a mask on, and you would never see that person maybe break any kind of way of being discouragement, never being sad, anything. And you may think that person will never go through anything, but all of us go through things. And also, I'm just going to tell you that we just have to just pray and know that even when an individual is dealing with depression, a child, an adult, whether it be male, female, Christian, unsaved, that spirit and that sickness, that illness of depression, not only affect the person that is depressed, it affects others, it affect the family members, everybody that's around them. It affect them in a way too, causing them to be the feeling, the pain, to see their loved one, the person they care about, go through such a long, dramatic episode as being depressed. And also, it also could cause you to have insomnia. People don't even sleep at night. It's often them to go to see the step all night, not sleep. It causes weight problem. You frustrate during depression. Some people don't eat. Some people can't sleep. They have physical problems. And sometimes even just being the effects of being depressed, it causes you to have headaches, digestive-related problems, body aches, heart problems, even blood pressure. It's just all symptoms of depression. But we know that God is the answer to all questions, all problems. And I'm going to leave you with an encouraging scripture that coming from 1 Peter 5:12 that says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange things happen unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceedingly joy." And Psalms 30:5 say, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy come in the morning and know that God's words say he is touched by the feelings of your infirmities. I love you. God bless you and be encouraged. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Dr. Norneal. We would like to thank again Dr. June Norneal. We would like to give God glory and honor for Dr. Rosa Mary Lucio, Dr. Gloria Castor, as they all, they gave you a greater insight on depression. We talked about what is depression, the causes of depression, and the effects of depression. If you feel that you are experiencing any of those symptoms or things that are happening in your life, first of all, today, we want to pray with you. And we're going to send the word out to the north, the south, east, and west for those that have been impacted, or those that know someone, or those that are feeling that they can't make it, and that they're sleeping, and they don't want to have sleeping all the time, and sometimes they can't sleep, or there's or certain things that are happening that will cause them to see to feel sad and feeling tired and whatever. But we want you to know that God is concerned about you. God wants to meet every need in your life. Dr. Norville talked about suicide, and we don't want you, wherever you may be going through, it is not the answer, but Jesus Christ, he is. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We praise your name. We thank you, God, for all that you have done and all, God, you're going to do according to your word. And, Father, we just give you praise, Lord God, for giving us the opportunity to be able to come before your people once again. And as Christian counselors, as people that have been born again, that life has been changed, that have come into the knowledge of you and know, God, that you are our Lord and our Savior. To know, God, that you're able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. To know, God, that you are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. One that has all power in his hand. One that is able to move a mountain. One that has caused peace, God, to be manifested in the lives of thy people. Now, Lord, even as you see from corner to corner, Father, of the world, God, is from the north, from the south, from the east and west, here, God, in the United States of America, those that are foreign soil, God, those that are in churches, God, that are depressed, those that are schools, Lord God, that are depressed, and those that are homes and on jobs, I ask you even now, God, to have your way. Lord, I ask you, Father God, to heal the sickness, to heal, God, in the name of Jesus, the disease, heal, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that tormented spirit that will try to come against them. Father, I bind right now in the name of Jesus, every work of the end, every work of Satan, every satanic force, every work of darkness, every hoodoo, voodoo, black and white magic, anything, God, that will try, God, to take life and to cause the people, Lord God, not to be, Father God, at peace within themselves. And God, I bind the spirit of worry, God, in the name of Jesus. And I release joy and peace, Lord God, to them, God, even now. And I ask the Lord God, and Lord, I ask you, God, to call them, Father, even as they listen to us on today, God, that they can touch the hem of your garment, God, that they don't have to turn to peel, God, that they don't have to turn, Father God, to anything, God, abnormal, but God, that they can turn to you, and God, that that help, God, even as Dr. Castor has said, I would lift up my eyes unto the hill, will come in my help, coming from the Lord, who has made the heaven and the earth. God, let them know today without a doubt, God, that their help, God, coming from you. And God, in that 23rd Psalm, it said, the Lord is my shepherd. And Father, even now, God, let them know, God, that you will be their shepherd. God, that you will take care of them. God, that you embrace them, God. God, that you will hold them, God. So give them what they need, God, this day and this hour. And, Father, we thank you for that. And, Lord, we praise you, God, for what you are about to do in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And, God, we thank you. You have been listening to the Crossroad broadcast with Dr. Rosa Mary Lucio, Dr. Gloria Castor, Dr. June Norville, and I'm your host, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. Please tune in with us on next Monday at this very same time. Say peace and may God bless and keep you is our prayer.